Okay, I'd like to call the meeting, the budget hearing and board meeting to order at 6:04 on June 29th, 2021. Roll call. Board members, Lisa?
Here.
Beth?
Here.
Dick?
Here.
Tom? Here. Dana? Absent. Public in attendance? Mike Mullen?
Here.
Grace? And Grace is here, and Stan is here.
We are the budget committee.
Are.
And I think we're public. I think we're the budget committee is supposed to be at this meeting.
It's considered nice, yeah.
Yeah, if we don't have to be here.
We appreciate you being here.
Oh, we definitely do. We always do.
Yes. And
I thought I thought you might want to come back to us after you did a little change on the budget after we were through. I was surprised we didn't get another call for that, but it doesn't matter. I just thought you probably would want to get us to approve that.
We could do that.
Whatever you think.
Dick, did you want to?
Yes, I guess I could respond to that. That's probably my fault. I've been out of town for 10 days and or near that. I'm sitting out here in North Platte, Nebraska, and it's hot. And so are you, I guess. Beth and Pat got together and they hashed this over. And really, it was just a matter of agreeing on the stuff that we'd already agreed to, but putting it in better form. And so at the suggestion at the last meeting that we simply raise the amount of initial capital, it's not really earned, it's just in the bank. We have a little more at the end of this year than we had at the previous year. So if you have the charts in front of you, the final adjustment shows 91,665 as available cash on hand. And then the fees coming in, both from commercial and residential, are pretty much the same as they've been all along. We just simply took 145 users times $50 a month plus the commercial users. I think there are 5 or 6. And those are the figures represented there. We had some discussion about collections and $4,000 or $5,000 in bad debts and how to handle that. And I just didn't leave that for the next meeting. We've got some thoughts on it. And I've been gathering some information on what other water districts charge and when they reach the point of a shutoff. And if they do shut off, what is turned on? I should have that by the next meeting that we get together. So we show what's called a gross profit. It really isn't. It's just a budget figure of 189,645. And then everything else on page one, if you want to chime in on any of this especially, is what we've had before. And we were kind of pressed right from the beginning as to how to allocate some things that we didn't know what happened. We really didn't have a whole lot of information on them, and they were in the previous budget, but in different categories. So we lumped those all into an item on page 4. So page 3 and page 4, page 2 and page 3 are pretty much what we'd had before. We did leave in all the money that was allocated For meter installation, the board felt, at least expressed to me, that that was a very important item to get done, and we need to keep that going. And finally, on page four, that's where I guess the rubber meets the road. After some adjustments by Tom and Dana, why we came out with item 760, Tom pared that down to $3,122 after taking a closer look at it. And then what says the next category, 7070, point one, two, three, and four, those were just in there. We didn't change those category numbers just so that we'd have a constant line to follow all the way through. But the 14,720 and the 58,000 were kind of guesses. And rather than pull them out and trim that down, because we don't really know what that figure might be, it includes those five items that were left for special tasks in the last budget. They were just left alone. And that includes system repairs and maintenance. And so that totaled $26,820. That's kind of a slush fund thing, is I think. And then we tried to pinpoint where we were on the chlorination facility. We kind of got hung up on the little house that's going to house the unit, but that's a small item. And I think Highland, as we've got their numbers in from their standpoint, the 15,691,025.6 under 9,000 category, water operations from Highland, that's a brand new one. So the total expense was 181,645. Revenue that we had on page one was 189. So we ended up with 8,000 over. And it seems to me that Pat felt, according to Beth, that that just needs to be carried forward. So as I look at the budget, rather than to try to pinpoint it and allocate things that we really don't know yet what they're going to amount to. We just started with a little higher capital from what was left over from the year before. And that gave us a budget that's pretty well balanced. It'll be up to other people to say if we're going to have to raise the monthly fees or not. But that's it from my standpoint. And if anyone has any questions, if Pat is there or Beth, they both worked on this a lot, and I did a little bit. So from my personal standpoint, I think it looks pretty good.
I have this resolution resolution of the Otter Rock Water District adopting the district budget in compliance with local budget law. Does anybody know if we have to read this out loud?
We don't have to. It's on the website. We do need to, before we do anything with the resolution, which the resolution is simply to pass the budget, we need to have the public hearing.
I don't really know the procedure for having the public hearing.
We'll just announce that you're opening this as a public hearing, and if any of the public wants to speak, this is the time they may do so.
Okay. Does anyone have anything to say about the proposed budget? doesn't seem to be any discussion. So I guess we can proceed to vote on it vote on it. So the resolution is to adopt the proposed budget. Can we just go ahead and vote on it? Does anybody have any other procedural?
Someone from the board needs to make a motion that we vote on the resolution and pass it.
Okay, I make a motion that we vote on the budget and pass it.
Second that motion.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, let's vote. All those in, Lisa?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Beth?
Yes.
Tom? Yes. Dana's not here. Motion passes. We have a new budget.
Congratulations, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank the budget committee for all their work and attending all those many meetings.
Thank you very, very much.
Welcome. Yeah, the budget committee's suggestions were especially helpful. Thank you.
We could probably use an update on board activities. Does anybody, I have things that I'd like to update, but I'll give other people a chance first. Does anybody have any comments? Okay, well, then I'll say a few things. Highland has been out. We've been getting going with Highland as our operator. Today I was working on the locate, transferring the locate's responsibility to them. Talked to the utility locate center and sent them a form, and they're going to reach out to Highland, and so all locates will go through the 811 system, the dig before you call Oregon Utility Notification Center, the same way they were before. The difference will be that Highland will get the call and do the locates. I've been providing them with, I got some scans done of maps, and we toured the system.
Could I interrupt just a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just that call, have they any kind of schedule? How much notice do we need to give them because of their distance away?
I think that they're bound to do it within the same time frame that that Cody was, or Jim. I think it's 2 days. I think I saw that on the website, but I'm not positive about that. But it's the same time frame.
That's good.
And they're going to be down in a few days, the first few days of the month for to walk the meter reading route with Craig and I. And so that'll get them familiar with that. And I've been trying to get a customer list for them. And Whitney downloaded a customer list, and I've been changing the formatting on a spreadsheet for them. And well, we need to talk about access. They want four sets of keys, and they want to get access to the office and the tool shed. So I think that's a reasonable request. All their people are background checked and vetted, and they say that they're all trustworthy. So is there any objection to getting them door codes or keys? Okay, how about they wanted to do a lockbox up at, they want four sets of keys, but I think one set they wanted to put in a lockbox up at the tank farm just in case of emergency where they had to lost their keys or something. So we would, I'll do that too if, I'll let them do that if unless somebody objects.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, let's see what else.
So we'll need to update our key list.
And on that, on Cody's super, ORWDSuper@gmail.com. Does anybody have to do anything with that?
Someone needs to get access to it. And Cody.
Oh, you mean, so the same procedure like we went through as board members coming in.
Right. And so assuming Dana hasn't done that already, I mean, I would assume he probably already did that while he was being supervisor, right?
I have no idea. So so we'll have to transition that. I think Highland will probably not be using that. They'll use their own internal email. They'll give us a contact. We don't need it for the locate, but in case we want to get in touch with them, we have emails for the key personnel.
Well, we need an email for the public to contact.
That's what I was getting to.
Okay.
So I'll ask them about that.
And a phone number.
Okay, email and phone. I asked Cody about the weed trimmer, so that some people mentioned, and he said last time he saw it, it was in the shed. I clarified that we were talking about the new one, and he didn't know anything about where it was.
That's one the district bought last summer.
Yeah, some people mentioned that it was kind of lost in action, and they thought Cody might have it, but he doesn't have it. And he'll be turning in his keys and any other property that he has. And I sent an email to Whitney asking about the paychecks, the payroll, make sure that gets taken care of.
Yeah, Whitney doesn't do the payroll.
Oh,
I do.
Okay. Well, I may have copied you on that email.
Yeah, But you have to go in there. It's not an automatic thing. So it's fine. He will get his last paycheck tomorrow. You have to initiate it and submit it.
Okay, but after that, will you take care of so we stop paying him?
Yeah, well, you have to go in there and say to pay.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's a proactive, you got to do it or it doesn't happen. Okay.
Right, yeah. It's not automatic at all. You have to go in there and say, hey, pay this person. So we won't do that anymore.
Okay.
What are we doing about the trimmer? Is there anything we can do? I mean, that's just...
We're just looking for it. We need to send out the word and ask if anybody's got it. I've never seen the thing, so I don't know. I don't know who's been allowed to use it. So I have no idea where to look, other than I heard some reference to that Buzz may have had it in his place at one point, but
yeah,
I don't know.
He had it locked in a shed there, and Cody had a key to it. And last he looked, it wasn't there, so.
You mean when Buzz looked in there?
Yeah.
Anybody have any ideas on how to look for it or find it? Should we send out an email to the community and call it to people's attention?
I guess after, I talked to Buzz, he said it wasn't there, so. And Buzz talked to Dan. Dan said, well, he thought maybe Cody had it, but I guess Cody doesn't, then.
Okay, well, to be continued, I guess. Highland did offer some insight into some of the chlorination project, but I'm not ready to talk about that right now. I don't know, there's been a couple of emails going back and forth. Does anybody feel like it's time to talk about that? Lisa, I know you were concerned about that.
Well, I apologize for being naive, but I didn't even think to ask Civil West about if we could put in what we wanted as far as chlorine is measure it versus the low versus the high. And I never thought to ask that question. It just never dawned on me that, you know, we didn't have the ability to adjust the level of chlorination. And for me, that's a big thing, because Civil West wants to do it up high. And it might be that we only need the low. And I don't want to make the water crappy for everyone with no way to fix it.
Well, Civil West did say that they want to keep it down around 0.2, which is the minimum. I think the question from Highland is just they thought it could maybe be achieved with less, less cost. And, but I think we're at a point now where we don't have a lot of wiggle room to delay. And personally, I'd like to proceed with the project and,
these are just questions I have, you know, they're just
Are you talking, Lisa, about some talk about it might have to be up high for a little while to clean out the system? Is that
what I heard from Highland was that we could not, once it was in place, we could not adjust the level of chlorination. We could not adjust it higher or lower. It was all automatic, and we had to, it was just one thing. And
I've never heard that.
No,
I heard that today, and it just freaked me out. Because I don't want to invest in a system that we can't adjust it. It's my only concern.
Adjustable, because it'll probably need to be adjusted at different times of the year.
I agree, but I'm just, like I said, I don't know. I'm just asking these questions. If it can, I'm fine. But I don't know. I don't know who's right. I'm not an engineer. And I don't know what the questions to ask, you know?
It just doesn't seem reasonable that the thing would be fixed. It has to be.
It can't be.
Well, I don't know. That's my question. I don't know.
I will talk to Tim or Dana will. Since Dana's not here, I'll take the lead and see if Dana wants to do it since he's the contact. And if not, then I will ask him that specific question.
Thank you. That's all I want, you know, just to be able to adjust it if we need to, and you know. I don't want to reinvent the wheel, guys.
And Tim, after we agreed to have him take responsibility for the shed, he added it to the plans. And so now the contractor will install it, purchase it and install it. And the design is Tim's responsibility. I mean, he did it. But I noticed today that the chlorination skid is not part of the contract. Obtaining it is not part of the contractor's responsibility. And this is news to me. I was called the provider of the chlorination skid. So I hear he's the provider, that equipment place somewhere up around Portland. Now the name's slipping my mind, but I called him to ask him what horsepower pump he was using. He said it's a 7.5 horsepower pump and also a 1.75 or 1 horsepower pump. So that's gonna take some juice on an ongoing basis. But then we got into talking, and he said that he needed a contact in the district, which Tim told him me, because they need to invoice the district directly. It's not through the bid, which I didn't know that. It sounds like somebody made an arrangement with Tim that was not brought out to the board, that some of this project would be done separately, like the shed, which has now gone back, and the chlorination unit, which is still a separate item that we're buying and we're delivering, I think. And something else, some other component of that. He wanted to, said we would be, they would provide the training and I forget what the other term is, to us. I don't know, it's like we're the customer, the contractor isn't, and I hadn't heard that before.
Well, I'm sure we'll be having Highland people involved in that, but that's disconcerting that unit needs to be part of the bid as much as more than the shed needs to be part of the whole package.
And from what angle are you coming in on that? And what's your reasoning?
Because we don't want to be we want the contractor to be responsible for receiving that unit and installing it and making sure it works right. It shouldn't be a separate thing. It should be part of the whole package.
That was my feeling too.
Yeah,
I don't know how it got this way. I guess we'd have to ask Tim. I'll ask him that. I noticed that he put out the request for a proposal or some kind of bid thing today. It was in an email. Did anybody talk to him about doing this, request him to for the district to buy it, to like save money or anything like that? Maybe Dana did. We'll have to ask Dana.
I had a brief conversation with him several weeks ago, and that's when he indicated to me that that housing was not included in the bid, even though they showed $2,000 for the housing to be there. It didn't seem to gel at the time, but he was rather insistent that that was the case.
So they've changed that now, Dick.
Okay.
Yeah, we at the last meeting we voted to put it back in the or put it into the bid. So now it is in the bid. Okay. And Tim put it on the plans and it's the contractor's responsibility to install it. See, so we're kind of talking about Civil West. Let's see. Did anybody have anything else on the Civil West topic? Okay. Another topic is the Consumer Confidence Report. That's due on July 1st of every year. And I've been working on that. And I've finished the draft, sent it out to the board just this afternoon. And I think it's pretty good. But if anybody has any comments on it, let me know right away because it has to go out, what is that, day after tomorrow? And when I sent it out to the board, I included the requirements for notification on the email.
Are you thinking we're going to mail this?
Well, I can read the.
Yeah, if we do, we're going to need to condense it a bit, I think.
I'm not condensing it. It's all the required information. Well, there are a few little optional portions, but
13 pages.
And I mean, I'm proud of that thing because it's what has to be done. I I think in the previous years, it was too brief. And so we're sending it out. That's what I think. The delivery says mail or directly deliver to each customer by July 1 of each year, plus a good faith effort to get reports to non-bill paying consumers like renters and workers. Acceptable electronic delivery methods include mail or email notification that the report is available on a website with direct web access, no navigation required. I didn't really see that we had that ability.
We can send a link to people, and we can put a link right on the homepage.
And then, let's see, does that qualify for that? Let me read the other options and then we'll come back to this. With a direct web address, URL, no navigation required. Next option, send the CCR as an attachment to an email.
We can do that.
And the last option is send the CCR as an embedded image in the body of an email. So is, Beth, are you thinking that sending it as an attachment to an email is the problem because of the size of it?
Oh. No, it's just that, you know, if we're going to mail it, postal mail,
I see.
Extremely expensive. That many pages probably take double stamps and twice the, you know, printing that many pages, getting that many pages printed.
Okay, special envelopes, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it seems to be saying that that either a notification that it's on the website with a direct URL. So I guess you'd send an email with a link right in it. Is that what you're thinking?
Right to that document. Yeah, like we do with agendas and everything. That's easy to do.
So whichever one you think is best, I think they all qualify as okay methods to do it.
Well, I'd say to save dollars, we'll email it to our email group.
How complete is that list?
We have a number of customers that we don't have it for. I suppose we could do a small mailing to those. Take some time to figure that out.
Ask a question. Are we going to have any items that are going to need full board approval tonight other than the budget? The reason I'm asking is that I'm running really low on battery. I'm afraid you're going to lose me. I've been traveling all day and I just got to the motel in time to get things plugged in.
Let me look at my list just to make sure that there wasn't anything I was going to bring up. One thing that was on my list was the drought notice from Lincoln County. And according to Dana, we still have enough water coming in, but we did get that notice from Lincoln County that about they're declaring a drought. So as far as your request, Dick, the only thing that could happen is the vote to declare the first level of water curtailment, the voluntary level. Does anybody
vote to make it unanimous? If I could just give you my proxy, Tom, to vote in the affirmative, anything the county puts out regarding the water situation, I'm all for following their guidelines.
I've got a comment on that, if I could.
Yes.
If you look at that Lincoln County thing, I may be mistaken, but you want to look at it carefully. I think it was aimed specifically at Newport. There were several cities mentioned. And I don't think it said anything about specific water districts. I think it was just kind of a blanket for Lincoln City, for different cities. And if Dana is saying there's plenty of water, and my walks in the morning to Marine Gardens, I'm not sure which waterfall that includes spring-wise, but there's a lot of water still flowing on the beach from our springs or whatever spring is pumping out there. So I think maybe you should kind of reread the order for the county.
Yeah, I don't think it was an order for the county. I think it was the city of Newport saying that that they were declaring a drought, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the county did, but they don't have jurisdiction over the water district. So, I mean, but they're declaring a drought.
Drought declared in Lincoln County. Water conservation requested city of Newport alert stage one, contact engineer. Water use restrictions Monday, July 28th, 2021, City of Newport, done. On June 28th, Lincoln County Commissioners declared a countywide drought and requested that Governor Brown declare a drought emergency for Lincoln County. Celeste River is flowing at 56% of average of this year. It is forecasted to approach record daily minimums, blah, 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 blah. The Midcoast Water Conservation Consortium is urging water users in Lincoln County to voluntarily take actions now to conserve water. Recommended alert stage one, blah. Lincoln County and local water providers will continue to monitor conditions and will provide updates as needed. If you have any questions, please contact your water provider.
Well, I think you ought to continue to monitor it, but in my conversations with Dana and just observations, we may not be in the same situation spring-wise that the Siletz River is for Newport, the reservoirs.
Spring one, in case people haven't heard, that has gone down quite a bit. We went, when we were sampling water recently, the sample tap is only out of one of the two pipes coming out of the spring, and we couldn't get any water out of it. So we looked inside, and one of the holes of spring boxes was bone dry. But we're still getting some water out of the other pipe. There still is some flow, it turns out, but it is down. And we'll be measuring the springs in a few days when we do the meter reading. So
that's good. I definitely think you should keep an eye on it, but just my two cents.
Can I throw a comment in too?
Dan.
Dick.
What we have to look at with our springs, it's different than a river like the Siletz, where they're pulling water out of it and they can see what's in there and they know what's coming out. All we're doing is we're filling up a tank. And you think of it as a cup and a faucet with water dripping into it. As long as the water's dripping, it's going over the sides, you know you've got a lot of water. As soon as the water stops dripping, it doesn't go over the sides, that's when you're out of water. It's pretty hard to conserve if you don't know when you could turn off the tap and when you could turn it on. I don't see how a conservation member, until we don't have water running over the top, is going to conserve anything. As long as water's going out of the tank and we aren't using it, we've got water to spare.
Is the water flow onto Marine Gardens, is that, I'm not sure what that source is. Is that part of ours and part of the Inns or below Levenspiels there? It's that main waterfall that's dumping onto the beach. And I'm still, when I'm walking down there, I'm still having to go carefully over the water, and you can't just walk across easily.
There's two branches of the creek that join together.
Okay.
There's the one that comes from our overflow, and there's another branch that goes kind of over by their wood tank. There's a ravine below there, And that kind of heads into Dope Creek, and they join together. I don't know what the flow is in that other creek branch of the creek right now.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay.
But there could be a public perception, like a kind of education component to it too, that once it stops overflowing, then it's going to take time to
fill up again,
to implement the curtailment. And the first phase is voluntary, and it's not very much, really. It's not very restrictive. And so it's true that we have technically have excess water as long as it's overflowing, but the amount that's overflowing is what's important, because we can see a, you know, a decrease. It's like you could plot it on a graph, and between a point of full flow in the winter and or when it starts to decrease, and the point where it is not flowing anymore. And so when it gets close, that might be the time to start gearing up, so that when it's not overflowing anymore, we're up and running.
Right. And Tom, there's three phases that the district has. Is that right for curtailment or conserving water?
At the present time, there is. Yeah, there's two voluntary and one mandatory.
There's state park in there.
And where does the commercial or state park fit into that? I've read them before, but I can't remember.
I have heard that the state park, when we tell them it's time, that they will turn off the shower and the drinking faucet.
And so it's not outlined in one of the steps. It's just the board.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, there's really no, in our current regulations, there is a mention of the priority of domestic use, but there's really nothing further about categorizing, like, or defining what domestic use is. So does it include renting nightly rentals?
Sure.
Those are technically residential kind of places, but they're optional, they're discretionary, at least. Right. Maybe they're not discretionary to the owners. They think that their income is mandatory, but people don't live there. You know, mm-hmm. the vacation there. And then then there's the park. And then there's the businesses. And I know that there's a fair amount of water usage at the surf shop, just washing off wetsuits.
Right. Yeah.
So there are different categories of use, but our ordinances really don't make it clear.
Okay.
So I guess we'll keep an eye on that.
You don't want to make a motion, Tom?
To go to the next level?
To do the first level?
Well, we've already asked people to, you know, notified them that our springs are slowing down and to please conserve.
Yeah, but we haven't made it official.
It's up to the superintendent to do it anyways, according to our ordinance.
What does it say about the superintendent responsibility?
It's their call. It's their call to ask for the phase one and phase two.
No.
I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, that's how it is written.
Okay, well, I'll bring that up with Highland and make sure they're aware of their responsibility. And we'll get those measurements. And we're having a meeting in a couple of weeks. So yeah, maybe that's would be a good time to consider that. Unless Lisa wants to make a motion now.
No, if the superintendent needs to do it, then I'm good with that.
Okay. Highland, when they were visiting recently, they reiterated that they're willing to install meters for us. He said 2 day blocks. He'd like to do it in two, if we want to hire them. This isn't included in the basic service. He would like to do it in 2 day blocks where they come and prep a bunch of them and then finish them up the second day. And then anyway, you do multiple 2 day blocks and,
I'm trying to sweep them
down from the top. I couldn't get anything. And so I guess we need to talk about whether we want them to install meters or if we want somebody else to do it. But I think we should. Yeah.
We can't talk about meters until we decide if what meter we're going to install. I mean, that's the holdup. So we can't talk about that until Dana gets here. And hopefully you have more information. And then hopefully we can make an informed decision. And then hopefully we can decide who we're going to use. And soon.
Well, there's a number of issues surrounding that. One is that we already have lots of 5/8 meters installed. And if we start buying different meters, then that creates an unlevel playing ground. Another issue is that the ordinances are inconsistent with the meters that we're installing. And so I think that's a problem. That would mean revising our ordinance. I guess those are the two main things. We either change the ordinance, or we start putting in different meters, but we still have to decide whether the existing meters is whether it's a problem that some people have smaller meters than other people. What do people think about that? Is that a problem? To give some people a 5/8 meter in violation of our ordinance and give other people the meter consistent with the ordinance?
I think my personal opinion is we should change the ordinance to match what we already have. It's perfectly acceptable. It's what we use. Everyone's happy with it. And we just change the little wording and make an addendum. And then let's get the meters in, because I'm tired of not providing the community what we promised them.
Yeah, me too.
Does the outlet size affect only the pressure?
The meter rating itself, I mean.
No, the actual effect to a customer, would it?
I think it affects the maximum flow. At lower flows, it doesn't affect much of anything. I don't think it affects the pressure. It affects the maximum flow. It's
the rate the water is being received.
Yeah, how many gallons per minute you can use.
I don't think it's probably a problem for most of them, the houses here, especially the smaller little vacation homes. We could possibly consider providing different meters for larger homes, but I don't think it's that big of a problem. I like Lisa's idea, amend the ordinance.
Yeah, it's a minimum. The ordinance is a minimum, so people can still install a larger meter if their house calls for it.
Or they don't install meters, we do, so.
Well, yeah, but they can they can request a larger meter or pay for a larger meter.
Right.
So if we want to change the ordinance, any ordinance changes take some time.
Yep. So we should just install some meters. I think we should just go ahead and, you know, once we get going with Highland and things get working smoothly, I would suggest we just give them a try and see how much it costs for them to do it.
Good idea.
Just try it out. Pick a section that we want to put meters in and that they can do in 2 days and throw in a bunch of meters and see.
I don't want to speak for Dana, but I think he's going to have heartburn with doing anything that's inconsistent with the meters. I'm sorry, with the ordinance. You know, putting in a meter that's smaller than the ordinance says that we're supposed to put in.
Well, we already have a third of our meters in and they're all that size, I believe, so.
That's true.
What's a few more?
Well, just maybe it'll come down.
Just don't pick any big houses, huh?
Maybe it'll come down to a vote.
Yeah, it could come down to a vote.
So next, at our monthly meeting, or on the 13th, I think. Maybe we should look at the possibility of starting the process of revising that ordinance.
Good.
Well, anybody want to bring up anything else?
Nope, not me.
Okay, the meeting kind of shrank there. It's lost shrinking, a couple of people. Okay, anybody object to adjournment?
Nope.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned at 7:03. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, Tom, get back.